In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, help of Christians, Saint Joseph, Saint Norbert, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Just in the book of Tobit, we hear, Tobiah is introduced to his relative, Raguel, who tells him, that his daughter is to be his bride, and it's kind of a humorous little, here's your new wife, The other seven have died, and she's got a demon that possesses her. Have a happy wedding, It's kind of like, wow, thank you. It's like going on a honeymoon on that Titanic. But, but something about Tobiah is that he's different than maybe the other seven husbands. He was a humble man who realized that if his marriage was going to have any success, he had to get down on his knees and pray. And this prayer that Tobiah said, at my brother's wedding, since I was his best man, I read that prayer of Tobiah that he said with him and Sarah before they spent the night together. I said that prayer for them at their wedding. I think it's a beautiful prayer that Tobiah uttered, realizing that, his marriage, like all marriages, have a supernatural element if they are a sacrament, and that, the only way they're going to be fed and survive is if they stay close to the source of grace. You wonder how many marriages today that fail. You can always ask them probably, when did you stop praying, or when did you stop going to Mass? And you'll see where the downfall began. Many today have to realize that, and we can see that the whole attack on marriage by the culture, the secular and diabolical culture that seems to be taking hold of us in many cases, is trying to even more undermine this whole nature of marriage, and that it is something that points to something far more than just what we see with our eyes. That we know that the sacrament of matrimony reflects the love of Christ for his bride, the church. And it's not a same-sex union. It is the beloved, and the beloved is both, symbolized in that the union of husband and wife, and the fidelity that exists between the two is why it can never be torn asunder, because it is. It reflects the fidelity of the church to Christ and Christ's commitment to his church. Today we have to keep hammering that out, repeating it over and over, since the culture around us is so continuing to spread the propaganda. And the best way to witness that is for husbands and wives today to give good examples of fidelity and faithfulness in their marriage, and to live out their vocation. It will be, the truth will win out. All these lies will fall away. The truth is the only thing that will remain. So in that sense, we have the victory already at hand. We just have to remain steadfast and to pray that God will come to our aid, as he always does. Our Lord always acts on time, but never, he's always giving us the graces we need when we need them. Today we celebrate Saint Norbert, who was a great saint, a great reformer of the church. It says that Saint Norbert was born in Zant and in the Rhineland about 1080. The early part of his life was devoted to the world and its pleasures. He even entered upon the ecclesiastical state in a worldly spirit. He was ordained subdeacon, but fear of greater restraint prevented him from receiving higher orders. So he didn't, he refused to go on to the priesthood or whatever because he just thought that might cramp his social life, I guess, or whatever. You know, he thought that there'd be more responsibilities, and he wanted to have his worldly pleasures. So we see how God works in mysterious ways, and some other saints that we've seen in the past kind of had a worldly bent to them, and all of a sudden they had an event in their life that sobered them up. And in this case, an accident became the occasion of a wonderful change of heart. A stroke of lightning frightened his horse, whereupon he was thrown to the ground and knocked senseless. On regaining consciousness, he became a sincere penitent. He left the court and withdrew to Xanten, where he began to lead a retired and penitential life. A retreat he made in the monastery of St. Sigebert near Cologne completed his conversion, and he spent 2 years preparing himself for the priesthood, which he received at Cologne. Soon after, he resigned his ecclesiastical benefices, sold his property, and gave the proceeds to the poor, and traveled to Languedoc, where Pope Gelasius II was at the time. So, in those days, clerics got inheritances which helped support them. Kind of like from the Old Testament, where the Levites were given certain privileges, and because they were priests or clerics, they were assured of an income. And in this case, Norbert decided to get rid of all that and to embrace the life of poverty as a religious. He went from place to place preaching penance. Finally, he settled at Premontre, where he established the order Premonstratensians, which became very numerous, even during the life of the Holy Founder. He was forced to accept the dignity of Archbishop of Magdeburg about the year 1125, but in this exalted station, he practiced the same austerity that had been familiar to him in the cloister. And St. Norbert founded a rather interesting order, the Norbertines, in that they were monastic, yet they took on parishes, and they lived in a monastic setting. Very wanted his priest to live a common life. And he encouraged, it says in the Office of Readings today, that the lay people should share in as much as they can in the monastic life. He was such a well-liked person. You know, he took that affable spirit that he used in the worldly sense to have all of his fun, he now used it for the sake of the gospel. And it says that he attracted so many people to join the monastic life, even like another St. Paul, you might say, who so moved so many people to embrace following Christ. And it's said that as St. Bernard of Clairvaux was known for his charity, St. Norbert was known for his faith. And what a great model today to have in this year of faith. His zeal effected a great reformation in his diocese, though like other saints, he had enemies in those to whom his life was a reproach. And it's said that he received rebellious revolt, you might say. People attacked him verbally and even physically, not only inside the church, but outside. Together with St. Bernard, he labored much to extinguish the disorders caused by the schism of the antipope Anacletus. Upon his return from a journey to Rome with Emperor Lothair, he fell ill and after 4 months of sickness, died on June 6, 1134. He was canonized in 1582 by Pope Gregory XIII. So, St. Norbert, today we celebrate his great zeal for God, his great faith, which he realized, you know, in that conversion that he had, that he was living for the wrong things and began to make use of the graces that God gave him. We ask St. Norbert in a special way to look upon maybe the clergy of today who maybe are embracing more worldly than they are religious, and that they would truly receive the grace they need to have that conversion and to take more seriously that grave obligation they have as a priest or religious. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.